And now the game where we ask giants questions more fit for dwarves. It's called Not My Job. This week, we are honored to host a guest considered to be true media royalty. Host of one of the most groundbreaking, globally popular daily talk shows produced for many years out of Chicago. Somebody who jumps from TV to politics to music to film. Somebody whose cultural influence may be greater than the president's. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a warm, wait, don't tell me, welcome to Mr. Jerry Springer. There you go. Yes. They know how to treat you.
I just want to open with an apology. I've ruined the culture. I'm so sorry.
Really?
You're the one.
Jerry, it didn't have far to drop. Right.
On your show, you tend to feature people who have problems.
You think?
And but what's interesting about these shows is a lot of times the people's problems aren't as bad as they think until they get on your show and find out. That seems to be a hallmark. And then they react badly to the news.
They don't react well. No. But, you know, first of all, the only way you get on the show is by calling us.
Right.
So the only way you'd know the number is by watching the show 50 times.
Right.
You know, and by then, you kind of know what the drill is. So people that come on aren't surprised what the show is like. You know, I've often maintained you could take the same person and put that person on Oprah's show and they would act perfectly appropriately.
So you think it's you that's making them get nuts and pick
up
chairs?
Well, I think it's the furniture.
The furniture. There's something about the furniture that makes you want to grab it and hit somebody over the head with it.
It's crazy. But interestingly enough, when you come on the show, you're given a list of 21 possible surprises.
Really?
Yes. And you have to agree to all of them before you could be on the show.
Are they just generic surprises?
Because they don't know which of the 21 it's going to be.
So they can't complain later, wait a minute, they sandbagged me. I didn't know that it was going to be my wife's transsexual chiropractor
that I've been living
with all along.
Yeah.
But they must have kind of a rough idea what their life has been like.
What sort of surprises, if I came on your show, let's say, what sort of surprises would I have to agree might occur that I have to be okay with?
That, you know, your girlfriend used to be a man.
Right.
You know, something having to do with cheating and, you know, every show is exactly the same. the only thing that is different is the personality of the guests.
Right.
Now, if I got serious for a moment, I would say, and everyone will be offended, but we're all alike. Some of us just have more teeth.
They have fewer after they've been in your show, I can't help but notice.
Or better educated, had better luck in the gene pool of parents.
Sure.
You know, but the fact is, there is such a fan base, I guess you would say. People really, that come on the show, honestly, are people that watch it all the time. And they're mostly young people. And it's kind of cool. Look, we don't deal with life-changing situations.
I think if my girlfriend was a man, that would change my life. Significantly.
Oh, you're saying it now because the people are here.
How did the show come about? I mean, my understanding is that when you started the show, you had been a successful, at that point in your remarkable career, you were a successful radio guy in Cincinnati.
No, I was how it came about... For 10 years, I was the main news anchor on the NBC affiliate, and I did the news every night at 5:36 and 11. The company that owned the NBC affiliate, Multimedia, also owned talk shows. They owned Phil Donahue, Sally Jesse Raphael, a bunch of them. Well, Phil was getting close to retirement, so one day the CEO of the company, Walter Bartlett, he took me to lunch and said, Jerry, we're starting a new talk show and you're going to host it. So I was assigned to it. I didn't audition. I didn't try out. I had no interest in it, but I still wanted to do the news. So they let me do both. I would fly to Chicago in the morning to do the show, and then in the afternoon I fly back to Cincinnati because I had to do the news every night. So that's how I got the talk show. In the beginning it was serious and boring, but it was serious. And the only decision I ever made, it's one of unintended consequences. The only thing at the time, there were about 20 talk shows, and all of us were trying to be like Oprah's. Then along came Ricky Lake. She was really the first talk show to appeal to the kids. When I say kids, I mean high school and college age. And so I just thought, why are we trying to be one out of 20 going after Oprah's audience? Let's be just one out of two going after Ricky's audience, and we'll get a much larger share, which is what we did. We decided then to go young, which meant young people in the audience, college kids, young people on stage, and young subject matter. Well, the truth of the matter is young people are much more open about their lives, much wilder, much crazier, whatever. And so then the show started to grow crazy. Then Universal bought us. And when Universal bought us, they said, from now on, you're only allowed to do crazy. And that's the truth. If someone calls us with a warm, uplifting story, we're required to send them to another show. We're not allowed to do it.
Really?
Oh, I swear to God.
All right.
Swear to God.
It's part of your credit. All right. I got to get into this because you were uniquely qualified to host this talk show because, of course, you had been the mayor of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Which most people don't know this about you, that you had this very serious career in politics and public policy before getting into media.
Yeah, I did it for 10 years. It's what I'm most passionate about is political issues.
Right.
That's what I love. My job is to be an entertainer or whatever in television, and that's how I make my living. But I never confuse it with a political message, but I don't, you know.
I wouldn't be too sure that you're that far out of politics, though. I'm thinking Berlusconi.
Right.
I think he could do your show.
I think he could.
Yeah, well, I never met a politician that couldn't.
Yeah.
But actually,
you have to include yourself because
sure.
Because you, of course, had your own scandal when you were a young man,
yes.
Mayor of Cincinnati. And,
yes.
And what was interesting about that is you actually, basically, if I understand correctly, you paid a professional companion with a check.
Yes, because my credit's real good. No, I did. It was the wrong thing to do. I was... Not that it's an excuse, but I was in my 20s. I went to see a hooker, and I wrote a check.
Name is printed on the check. You're aware of that.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't particularly hiding anything.
How many hookers in the history of the world have taken checks?
Well, here's the thing.
It's the Midwest. We're nice.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't really pay for it because she never cashed it. She was
there you
just
go.
So amazed that, oh, my God. So actually, it was free. No,
yeah. I got to ask you this question. How does it feel to be Jerry Springer, that icon of a certain kind of entertainment?
I'm just a schlub that happens to have a famous show, but I'm the only person I've ever been, so I don't know how to answer. I mean, I don't know how to compare that. Okay, I used to be a woman. But other than that...
Well, Jerry Springer, we're delighted to have you with here. We've invited you here today to play a game we're calling...
Nothing Ever Happens on This Show.
Which we assume is not something you've ever heard said about your show. We are going to ask you three questions about the most boring TV shows we could find. Answer two out of three correctly, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Jerry Springer playing for?
Jerry is playing for Amanda Mezoff. Westport, Connecticut.
Here we go. Westport fans.
Oh.
You can do this.
We Ready? Can't. I know Amanda.
Oh, you do?
No, I don't. Yeah. I was just
Here's your first question, Jerry.
Yes.
We were amazed to discover that there are at least three different TV shows you could watch devoted to what rather boring activity? A, pencil sharpening. B, ice fishing. C, hair tweezing.
Now I'm going to say ice fishing.
Ice fishing? You're right. Popular ice fishing TV shows include Iceman, Ice Fishing Today, and In Fisherman's Ice Fishing.
You guys don't watch that?
No.
Jeez.
And you've never seen Law & Order Moosehead Lake?
That would be four then. That's good. All right, that's good. There's one right, two to go. Here's another question. There's a TV show which scientists have agreed. Scientists, it's the most boring of all time. Is it A 3-minute clip of President Nixon talking that was broadcast into space in 1973 for the aliens. B, a 10-minute compilation of images put together to test the power consumption of new TVs. Or C, who's the boss?
Well, that's a gimme. No. Well, I'll just say who's the boss.
Absolutely. You're going to say who's the boss? You should be right, but it's actually the 10-minute compilation of...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I understand. You did that for the joke, because that's how you are. You're a showman. I'm with you. This is great, though. You still have one more chance, so here we go. Last question. As you know, there's a reality show for just about every hobby or activity. Which of these is a real reality show that's premiering this very spring? A, Pest Control of Orange County. B, Mad Crochet. Or C, Extreme Couponing.
Wow.
They seem to like the latter.
Yeah, I think I do too. Yeah, because it's most people. Yeah, I'll say that.
Extreme Couponing?
Yes, you're right.
You're right. Extreme Couponing. Extreme Couponing premieres April 6th on the Learning Channel. So everybody go home and reserve your space.
On the Learning?
On the Learning, the TLC.
What the?
Well, you're learning how to coupon. Carl, how did impresario Jerry Springer do on our show?
Jerry had two correct answers, Peter, and that's enough to win for Amanda Mezoff.
Well done. So I know, Jerry, I know that you end your show with kind of a thought from Jerry. Do you have one for the end of your appearance with us?
May you never be on my show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Springer is the host of The Jerry Springer Show, a new dating show called Baggage. Jerry Springer, thank you so much for being with us today.
If you want to have fun, come home with me. You can stay all night and play with my TV.
In just a minute, Carl uncovers the remains of Tyrannosaurus Harvey. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. To join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Vanderbilt University Medical Center, using a patient's genome to develop customized blood thinner therapy at vanderbilthealth.com. Lumber Liquidators, whose flooring includes pre-finished and stained solid hardwoods, bamboo, and cork and laminates. Information at lumberliquidators.com. And Lindemood Bell Learning Centers, for 25 years helping individuals learn to read and comprehend. 800-300-1818. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.